The word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. Nothing was of more importance approaching August in my teenage mind than selecting the perfect outfit for my first day of school. At that age, wearing the right clothes on that first day meant that my school year would be off to a fantastic start. After months of summer play, tan lines, and sleeping in, what you wore on that first day of school in many ways revealed exactly how you spent your summer. Even kids who looked reluctant in first day pictures taken by their parents would at least put some minimal effort into what they wore to start the school year. I have wonderful memories of spending a long day at the mall. Remember when you could spend a day at the mall? Spending that with my mom or with my friends shopping for new school clothes. And when the school clothes were purchased, no matter what month in the summer, those clothes were washed and put away. Because the unwritten rule was that you never wore your school clothes during the summer. You waited until school started. Now, I'm not sure it's the same way still. I mean, do kids still get excited about what they wear as they walk that first day of school into a new classroom? Yeah. And maybe for some new teachers or some of the teachers, you're picking your first day outfit. I may not have to worry about what I'll wear on a first day of school, but I've been thinking about the clothes in my closet as our family prepares to move this coming month. And even when you're only moving 0.3 miles, you ask yourself if you still need all those clothes that you keep in your closet. Just how many dresses do I keep that mark a special memory in my life? What it all comes down to is what you wear defines who you are. Right or wrong, it's a fact, isn't it? I mean, people in general make conclusions about us based on the way we dress. At the academy, Mackenzie has to wear a black shirt and black pants and black sneakers so that she can be identified as a cosmetology student. Clothing trends I've noticed on social media are going back to the mid-1990s skater look. I kind of laugh thinking about how flannel shirts are coming back in style, just like I wore in the early 90s. I guess what goes around comes around. Who knows if the way someone dressed was of importance to the people of Colossae? We don't get many details about what they wore. Most of us probably imagine God's people in biblical times all wearing the same style and color of clothes, the kind of clothes we pull out near Christmas or in Advent when we're doing the Christmas story. Lots of tunics, a lot of plain colored clothes. They don't seem very fashion forward according to scripture. It doesn't feel like clothing trends were being set by anyone back then. In fact, back then, they probably didn't have much clothing to begin with. There was no wardrobe department or walk-in closet for people in their homes, and well, there was no Goodwill to take clothes people no longer wanted to wear. But Paul has his opinion about clothing and about the clothing that we wear, but it has less to do with our physical appearance than it does about our spiritual appearance. Outward appearance means little to Paul compared to the way we live our lives as disciples of Christ. Paul is only interested in what is in our spiritual closet. And so he begins by reminding the Colossian church that it's never been about marking ourselves as different and claiming our individual rights regardless of how they affect others. If you are in Christ, he reminds the church, then you are a new person with a new wardrobe. There is no longer Greek and Jew, uncircumcised and circumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave and free, but Christ is all and in all. All who love Christ are God's chosen ones who are holy and beloved. So our dress and our demeanor, our posture, and our attitudes are to reflect the one who chose us in Christ, which means we must put to death the earthly and self-serving desires that are so common in the world around us. We strip off the old self with its practices and clothe ourselves with a new self, which is being renewed according to the image of the Creator. It's not about calling attention to ourselves, in other words, but rather seeing our whole lives as pointing to the one in whose image that we are made. So what kind of spiritual clothing does Paul think we should be wearing? To find that out, we need to continue reading his letter into verse 12, where Paul goes on to outline the dress code for those who proclaim Jesus as Lord. I'll share that verse with you. The five pieces of clothing listed in verse 12 are all designed to communicate Christ to others and pay attention to their interests and needs. Paul says that compassion and kindness, humility, meekness, and patience are virtues that we should always have on us. They should be hanging in our spiritual closet, so to speak. And wearing this kind of character clothing demonstrates to the world that we're not pushing our own personal agendas, but that our agenda is always about reflecting Christ. Compassion is sympathy for the situations of others. That guy who is impatient as you wait in line or who is giving you a hard time at work is likely dealing with things that you have no idea about. And so when someone is acting out, the issue is usually not the issue. Most of the time, their bad behavior is the result of something going on in their lives that has them stuck. So compassion, as we wear that, looks for the opportunity to care for people where they are, to love them despite the situation. Kindness is the active consideration for others and their needs. Think of it as compassion taking action. Rather than categorize people by their dress and demeanor, we look for ways to care for them where they are. It means we represent Jesus, whose kindness drew people to him, rather than pushing them away. The clothing of humility helps us to see others as more important than ourselves. This is an important theme for the Apostle Paul, who spoke about humility throughout many of his letters to the church. St. Augustine said, "It was pride that changed angels into devils. It is humility that makes humans as angels." Yet sometimes it would appear that not many of us are interested in being as angels, for the garment of humility is so infrequently worn these days. It's perhaps of all the items in the Christian's wardrobe, the one garment we're likely to keep in the closet. The irony is that this garment of humility is also a garment that goes with everything. It never clashes with whatever else we are wearing. Meekness or gentleness involves courtesy and consideration for others. It means waiving our rights to personal gain in order to lift another one up. This piece of Christian clothing is sometimes mysterious to us. We're just not sure what it's about. It's like looking at some clothing, let's say a scarf, for example, and thinking, how in the world do I wear this thing? Or for those of us outside the current teen fashion trends, we might look at someone younger and say, how in the world do you wear that thing? Pastor Rick Warren writes, "We've lost the true meaning of meekness. Meek doesn't mean weak. Jesus and Moses were described as meek, and they certainly were anything but weak. Meekness really means strength under control. Patience is ability to not become frustrated and angry when others intrude on us, but instead to offer forgiveness for their shortcomings. After all, Paul says, we ourselves have tested the patience of God with our own sin. So just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive." no more or better reflected than in the words the Lord says in Hosea in our reading today, as he continues to forgive as the Israelites test his patience over and over again. That final piece of clothing that Paul shares in verse 12 is love. All these virtuous pieces of character clothing are vitally important for the Christian, but the one piece of clothing that goes over them all like a warm overcoat is love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. Paul writes about this outer garment elsewhere in 1 Corinthians 13, as he says, it is patient and kind, not self-seeking. It keeps no records of wrong and rejoices with the truth. In short, love is the goal of the disciples' dress code. It's fashionable anywhere. Interestingly, the word for binds in verse 14 of this chapter is the same Greek word for ligaments. In the human body, ligaments keep the bones connected and enable the body to move. So if the ligaments of love are healthy in the body of Christ, then the church will always be on the move. Without love, on the other hand, we stay buckled in place, unable and unwilling to go anywhere for Christ. So building a wardrobe of love is thus one of the key tasks of the church. But how do we do this? How do we maintain a Christian wardrobe in a world where people tend to dress their lives in ways that are often hostile or tempting or offensive? Well, you might say, or Paul would say, we take our wardrobe to the cleaners. He says that we should take our character clothing to the cleaners, or in other words, we take it to the church. Worship and community are crucial. Paul calls the church to worship and practice love within the fellowship so that when the members are apart from one another, they are still uniformly dressed to take the gospel to the world. People not worshiping in community ultimately suffer with an inability to live in community with others. They are out of practice and find they can't fit into their spiritual clothing. It is worship that is our exercise of faith among God's people so that we can continue to wear spiritual clothing as Christ intended. Paul's words in the verses throughout this chapter say, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which you were indeed called in the one body, and be thankful. We gather as the people of God to, you might say, check our wardrobe, ensuring that it communicates the character of God. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Teach and admonish one another in all wisdom. We gather to hear the word of Christ, to teach one another so that we can be equipped with the wisdom to wear and communicate Christ-like character in our workplaces, in our schools, in our neighborhoods. And whatever you do in word or in deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. If you're going to wear any sort of message on your shirt, or better yet, on your heart, it's gratitude. Most of us, like I said, won't be worried what we wear for the first day of school at the end of August, but every day we must always put on Christ, reflecting his influence in every word and deed and act of love. And let me tell you, that's a dress code that will never go out of style. And it's a dress code that we follow no matter where we live in Christian community. Some we have worn well, and while others we're still trying to find the right fit, right? Moving forward, we may take different journeys, but we are commanded by Christ to create this Christian closet full of compassion and kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, wherever God calls us to be. So what's hanging in your closet? To God be the glory. Amen. Let us continue with our worship together. I invite you to stand if you are able as we sing a song of praise, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing.